I'm using for much of my research here the book that your mother wrote, the autobiography of Ada Lois Sipuel Fisher, and the title of it is A Matter of Black and White. Let's establish, you helped her write that book.
Yes.
Tell us how you were involved.
Actually, Mom started writing this book in the late 80s, after my dad died in 1987. That became Mama's primary interest. She wanted to write this autobiography. So she would work on it for a while and then stop, work on it for a while and stop. In 1993, I began to work with her on the book. The way we would do it is that she would think about something that happened, or I would go to the Historical Society and find things in the newspaper. I would come home and show her the newspaper and say, do you remember this? And she would talk about it. Because Roscoe Dungy was really the architect behind the plan. And he would document every aspect of the case, so I knew I had a good record to work with. So I started just going through the Black Dispatch, and everything I saw pertaining to her, I'd make a copy of it. So it would kind of follow that path. I would then record, we had a recorder, tape recorder, and she would talk about the newspaper article. I would transcribe it and then bring it back to her, and she would edit it and so forth. And that's how we wrote the book.
Let's talk about her parents. Her father, Travis B. Sipuel.
T.B. Sipuel.
I understand he came from near Columbus, Mississippi, born there, and he was a minister. What can you tell us about him?
When Mom first became the plaintiff and they filed the lawsuit, that same summer, her dad died, T.B. Sipuel died. So I didn't get a chance to meet him at all. I just heard stories about him. The thing that I remember most is that he became the overseer of the Holiness Church. And in that capacity, he was the head bishop, the only bishop, the top bishop in that church organization, which made him a very influential man. So he was independently secure from anyone firing him or anything like that. I didn't know him very well, but I knew that he had a reputation of being a very important guy.
And then her mother, your grandmother, Martha Bell Smith, did you have any recollection of her?
Oh, yeah. Martha Bell Smith Sipuel. When she married my grandfather, who became Sipuel. As I said earlier, from the time I was born until the third grade, I lived in Chickasha with my grandmother. We called her Big Mama. That was our life. I saw my parents on some weekends. Generally, about once or twice a month, Mom and Dad would come from Oklahoma City to visit. During the summers, I would get to go stay with them, but they were preoccupied with trying to get established in Oklahoma City, so we lived with my grandmother to that time. I didn't realize this at the time. I knew people treated my grandmother special, but my grandmother had a lot of clout in the African-American community. An example would be that I was not old enough to go to school, but we lived right across the street from Lincoln School, which was the African-American school in Chickasha. My sister is a few years older than I, so she was in school. But every day I'd get up and put on my clothes and go to school just like I should have been in school. But I walked the halls. And eventually the principal got with my grandmother and they were able to get me in school a year earlier because I wanted to go to school. So my grandmother was a very influential person in Chickasha.
Now I'm pursuing this because I think it plays into the story. She was very light colored.
Absolutely.
And why was that?
She was the product of a slave ancestry in Arkansas, and my great-great-grandmother, so the story goes, was the second wife, you might say, to Captain Smith, they called him Captain Smith, who was the white man who was the owner of the property that they lived on. This was not during slavery, but in Arkansas at that time, it was almost like slavery. My grandmother was very light-complected. To look at her, you would not know she was an African-American. But in Oklahoma, all you needed was one drop of African blood, and you were considered black. So no matter that my grandmother was more white than black, she was still designated as being black. But you couldn't tell it to look at her. And what shocked me was, because, you know, I grew up with my grandmother up until the third grade, and she lived with us until she died when we moved to Oklahoma City. I never paid any attention to it. I was in my office at the Historical Society one day, and Vicki Miles came through. She and I have been friends for a long time. In fact, we were on that trip to Africa together for about a Hay Scholarship. She looked at the picture of my grandmother on my desk and said, oh, who is this white lady? And I said, it's not a white lady, that's my grandmother. My grandmother and my mom used to talk about how when traveling sometimes, they would have difficulty because my grandmother would be sitting in the colored section of the train and they would ask her to move, but she said she wasn't moving. So she had some problems sometimes with the fact that she was more white than black.
So then both your mother's parents actually came from slaves. Your grandfather was a son of slaves.
So they say. My mother says that he was very secretive about his past. So it only came out in bits and pieces. We thought because of the unusual name that it would be, you know, easy to kind of trace his ancestry, but it has not proven to be so.